Good afternoon, Clear Creek County. Welcome to What's Upstream. I'm your co-host, Mark Cuccinella, along with Lori Beckel. Good afternoon, Lori.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Howdy.
And let's satisfy that FCC guy. This is KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial, streaming over clearcreekradio.com. Lori, you want to introduce the show?
Yeah, so we've got a two-part show today. The first part, we're going to be talking to Carla Cole. And Amy, I need to get your last name.
It's Dolan Fletcher.
Dolan Fletcher. So we're going to be talking with them about the Clear Creek Arts Program, another fairly new, somewhat new offering in Clear Creek County. The second part of our show, we're going to be talking with Carolyn Fissalt about the Friends of the Georgetown Library. Big plans up there. A really exciting concert to fundraise this weekend. So this is kind of a fun show today, Mark. But I think first, we want to celebrate the fact that 1A passed in Clear Creek County.
Yes, thank you. And we do a weekly show, of course, so we rarely have the opportunity to break news. And we're very pleased to be able to say breaking news. The election results are in from yesterday. Before we get to that, the most important news yesterday is my son was 37 years old yesterday.
Oh my gosh,
congratulations,
yes.
Anthony, you made it to half my age. So let's get into the election results. The statewide questions, Proposition LL, passed by about a 2-to-1 vote, and that was to provide school lunch money and breakfast money as well. Congratulations, Colorado, for doing the right thing.
And passed as well. And
yeah.
They're both related to school lunches.
That's right. And is the other state election, statewide referendum, and that was that passed. And I don't understand why it was a different vote count, but that was about 3-to-2, not 2-to-1. But all in all, a resounding a vote
for kids.
For food. Food for children.
Exactly. In Colorado, we feed our children.
Yeah.
Let it be known.
There you go. And so there were other local election results, the most important of which, I guess, for the community at large was the vote for emergency services, question 1A. And that was in the unincorporated areas of western Clear Creek County. And that was a resounding yes as well. And you know, what I find interesting about these ballot initiatives is that when you give people an opportunity to spend money on things that are important to them, they will say yes.
Yes.
And
the ambulance service and our fire authority are both highly thought of in Clear Creek County, and people came out and supported them.
Yeah, fabulous. That's right. And I couldn't be more pleased. 15 years on the ambulance and 20 on the fire department. I'm very, very happy that they are going to receive the resources that they need to sustain their progress and maintain their level of service to the community. So congratulations to all of us for that. There were also elections here in Idaho Springs, and the only one that was that I saw that was of any I don't know how to say this. There was one close election for let's see, what seat was that? Oh, gosh, now I got to find it. Anyway, Kate Collier lost her seat by 3 votes.
She did?
Yeah.
I didn't know what. Okay.
How's that for every vote counts?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So who was elected?
Oh, boy.
For her seat,
now
does it say?
Now I've got to find that.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well,
yeah.
So anyway, well, I'm sorry, Kate. Kate has put in an awful lot of work.
She's worked hard over the years, and thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. All right. So, and for many of us, it really was a very exciting election, kind of in some of the national races as well. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We are here to learn more about the Clear Creek Arts Program. And I'm wondering, Carla, if you would begin. And first of all, just introduce yourself and your interest in the arts.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Lori. So my name is Carla Pokrivka Cole. I've kept my maiden name in my name. But a lot of people here know me as Carla Cole, and
easier to say.
Yes, it is a lot easier to say and spell. And I am an architect. I'm a commercial architect in Clear Creek County. I've done many things, but I've lived here for about 20 years, a little over 20 years now. And my husband grew up here, and so did his father and grandfather. My daughter is a fourth generation now. Wow. So a lot of people know me from PTA at Carlson Elementary, and she's now a wonderful junior up at Clear Creek High School. So, yeah. So that's kind of my resume, so to speak. I became executive director of Clear Creek Arts and Education maybe about a year ago. I'm going to get my timelines. We've been working on this for a while. Mm-hmm. So, and my heart has always been part science and part art. Like that's why I'm an architect. And so, I know how important music was to me when I was in those formative years. I know how much art is important to creativity and to, mm-hmm. to resiliency in children. And so, and many things. I mean, we could talk about that now or later or whatever, but I know how important that is for that. And as I watched my parents age and watch my in-laws age and everyone around me age, including myself, I know how important that, you know, you've lived your life, you've worked you've done your money, and you know, it's time to get back into those things. And music can be healing, and theater can be healing, and creativity in general is healing. And so that's why I'm here for Clear Creek Arts and Education. I know that the community wants it and needs it, and so let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen, for sure. Thank you. And then Amy is here.
Hi, I'm Amy Dolan Fletcher. I've also got my maiden name. And I am a new resident of Clear Creek County. And having come via New York City, I was a professional performer since the age of 7. So I also have my master's in theater education and building community around theater. And when I met Carla and all the other people on the board of Clear Creek Arts, I was thoroughly inspired to jump both feet in and try and bring this mission to light and this vision for this incredible town to light. I've really been impressed and again inspired by how people come out and how people support. And similar to what you were saying about the elections, when it's important to people here, they show up. Mm-hmm. And I believe that our mission is very important to the people here, mm-hmm. for the arts and for really supporting our children and supporting our seniors and creating a space for people to come together. I think that we want to give them the opportunity to show how passionate the people are in this community about the arts. And so this is really an opportunity to support something that can be transformational for our kids and everyone in Clear Creek County and beyond for sure.
Yeah.
But our children need some place to go, need to be able to develop skills to take into their lives for very lucrative and fulfilling careers. I have made my career in the theater arts. I've been enriched in so many ways, but fundamentally I've always had a path, and that's what the arts gives, and I know that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people here know that too and would want to be a part of this. And so we just want everybody to hear about it.
Yeah, and support and figure out how to support it.
And figure out there's many ways to support it. Of course, you know, first and foremost, we need a little financial support, but there are many other ways to support it.
Well, we're going to get to that, but I just want to say that over the years, I've lived in Clear Creek County for about 40 years now, and I'll say that there's always been great interest in the arts in Clear Creek County, whether it's a musical event or some production at the high school by the high school troops. That's always been fan favorites. When Greg Markle was making movies here in the community, he never lacked for people who were willing to ham it up in one of his movies. And it's just a creative outlet such as a performing arts center would be such a great addition. We've got the great library district. We've got the great recreation district. We have institutions in place that make this a thriving community. And the addition of, I just want to say, the addition of a performing arts center would be right in line with all the other positive steps we've taken in our community.
I totally concur. You know, and it's kind of fun. Amy, I don't know if you know the history of melodrama.
Yes, I have been. I was intrigued and took a little bit of a deep dive.
I forgot to mention that.
I was going to say, it's hard to not be inspired to creativity in this town.
Right.
I mean, I'm new here. I was living down in Conifer and Evergreen for a little while after I came from New York. But from the second I stepped into this town, the people I meet that are so diverse and so interesting, and hearing about the history and the, you know, just the miners and then the melodrama and the culture and even the architecture. Even when I walked into this building today, I was just overcome. I said, "Whoa, what can we do here? How can we keep this alive in new and creative ways?" So it's hard not to be creative here, and I feel like it's like the horse at the gate. Like, let us go, let us go, let us have it.
Well, let's hear about your project.
Yeah. So we've been working on this for a while. Lori, I think you know that for sure. And we were awarded $1.538 million from Colorado Creative Industries. They full throttle went in and said, "We support you. This is wonderful. We want this to happen," and which was amazing. I mean, that was we're coming out of COVID, and that was 2023.
Incredible honor.
Yeah, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of money just doesn't exist, especially for the arts right now. It just doesn't. And so we are, when we were partnered with the school district early on, when we were awarded that money, and they switched gears on us. And so we said, okay, well, you need to find a new place. We're not letting this die. We're going to make something happen here and put this money to use in our community. Now, building is expensive. And so that they know, and we knew, and it was all, you know, that's a small portion of what we needed, especially in a new facility, in a new space, wherever that is. And so we are now up against sort of a timeline to say we need $300,000 in support from our community. We have support from other private from other private owners and that kind of stuff that will help get our full amount there. And you can go to our website, www.cccae, Clear Creek County, Clear Creek Center for Arts and Education, CCCAE.
We'll give you an opportunity to say that again. So,
thank you.
So everyone out there, get your pencils ready.
Yeah, and that's .org. We are a Colorado 501c3 nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And the best place to give right now is Colorado Gives, on the Colorado Gives page. You can actually go to Colorado Gives, and they're actually matching $100 through through the end of the month, I think up until the first week of December, they're matching $100 for any reoccurring amount that's given. And so, you know, we have our capital fund, which is what we're really focused on right now. And then we also have our programming. So we've been doing small programming opportunities. We're going to beef that up with more workshops and that kind of stuff after the first of the year. Amy is an amazing arts educator. She's been that for many years. And so we are so blessed to, like, she is my new bestie. I can't tell you how much I love her. There's a couple things coming up. We've got the Colorado Gives is a great place to give. You can also reach out to us on info@cccae .org and get information from me and from our group, from our board. And then we've got the Holiday Ramble. That's an Idaho Springs thing. I think you guys have them coming in a couple weeks. But the Holiday Ramble is where we give out. We partner with the Argo, and they purchase the gingerbread houses, and we give them out, and we support, and we're making that bigger and bigger. We're trying to.
I was a winner last year.
Yes, you were, Lori.
We're among royalty.
We actually made the Argo.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
we had some
clever.
Yeah, yes, we had some beautiful entries. We're trying to make that bigger, and so anyone out there, we do electronic submissions. We'd love to have them in hand and ready to for the showcase that we do, but we are trying to get that bigger and bigger and bigger, and so we are working really hard on trying to build that year after year. I think we're on the fourth annual. I'm sure somebody's going to get mad at me for not knowing.
Sounds like a project my daughter would be very interested
in. Yeah, it's amazing. And so we give out the free gingerbread houses so families and kids can do that, or you can bake your own gingerbread, and we've got the recipe for the frosting and the gingerbread up on the website, and you can do it all from scratch. But so that's November 30th is the Holiday Ramble. That's when we start handing out the houses, but the Argo is a partner with us on that, so they also, you can pick up the houses there. And then we've got a watercolor, we call it our paint and pour series, and so we're going to do watercolor at the next one, and that's we're working on that for the beginning of December. So I think it's probably going to be the second Saturday in December, but I need to lock that in.
I went to the last one, and let's just say I should stick to singing and tap dancing, but I had a wonderful time.
We had a big group. It was really successful.
Raucous group.
Yeah,
super fun.
Well, you're going to come next time, right, Lori?
I will.
And Mark.
I can't draw a circle with a compass, but I'll be there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's all about the fun.
Yeah, if you like the pour part, we do mocktails and cocktails because we want to make it friendly for teenagers and as well. And so we want to, that's where arts and education comes together when we're all mingling in one place and learning from each other.
Exactly. And I'm assuming then your vision is community-wide, all ages?
It is. So our vision is to develop, cultivate, and deliver excellence in arts and arts education through professional and community collaborations. And we, all our material talks about 0 to 100. You know, we want the babies to be energized, and we want parents to be able to learn how to integrate the arts for their children. Mm-hmm. But we also want the seniors in our community to participate and to share their knowledge, but also be creative with us and use their skills in a different way. We know that connects, art can connect and to connect pathways in our brains in so many ways. And so that it's incredibly important throughout our community. And we have one of the highest aging populations in the state. Right?
Yeah,
and so and everyone's very vibrant and wonderful, but we stay that way because we support each other and we come together, and so we want a place. So one of the key things here is that we need to fund all of the scholarships and the free programming that we eventually want to be able to provide. Is we need a 200 seat theater. And so that's really where this money comes together. Like, we want a theater, we want multiple spaces that where we can create a black box theater, where we can create a larger
What is a theater. Black box theater?
A black box theater is basically about getting back to the basics. Oh. It's about using black boxes to make, that's where it originally started. It's painted black, and your set pieces are these boxes. And so it's about kind of taking away the technology and creating an intimate space where the audience and the actors are really sort of connected, right? Wow. Because it's just about the storytelling. And it's a great way for kids to learn as well. And right now I'm working on a project with a cast of seniors, 55 and over, doing a performance, and a high school troupe doing the same performance. So we're going to have cross mentorship and things like that. And what has come from that has even more pushed me to explore these intergenerational opportunities for sure. And so I think what we can all agree on is that this is important for human beings to live in, especially a complicated world, to get back to the basics of storytelling, which this town, boy, does it have some stories. And I just hope people, in any way they can, raise their hands, whether it's giving a dollar or writing a letter or any of those things, will create the momentum. Of course, we would love to have those big donors who are invested in our community, because just side note, for our economic development, this is a huge, huge motivator, a huge lever. And
arts does that, and
the arts does that, and it's been proven time and time again. Mm. So, you know, we're talking about the kids and the families and the seniors, of course. But if there's anybody out there who wants a bottom line, you're it's time for you to step up to bat too.
Terrific.
And help us out.
Yeah, we would love to have the large donations, 10,000 plus, but like Amy said, the $1, $2, $10, that's amazing too. And get your name on our list, you know, or send us a letter of support to say, hey, state and other grantors, we've got a lot, we've got probably 5 grants that we are working on right now that are right in front of us. And unfortunately, we've lost a couple of those too. We've submitted them and we've lost them. I mean, it's kind of how it goes right now.
It's like, very competitive.
Yeah. And but the fact that the Office of the Governor, Colorado Creative Industries, mm-hmm. put in and said, full throttle, we want you. They've been at meetings with us and support, and they've given us their blessing,
and
they want
this. A lot of money.
Yeah,
a lot of money.
But not enough, right?
It
gets us a foothold, but there is that, we've got to show that our community wants this. So, you know, if you believe in the arts, if you know what it can do for your children, for your parents, for yourself, right? Like, let's put a little into that kitty, and let's get this going forward.
Let us know we're on the right track.
I don't think you can emphasize the importance of those small donors and support from the community when you're going for grants, institutional grants, government grants. That broad-based support is so important. So, don't be afraid. If you've got a dollar and you can write a little note to go with your dollar, it's extremely meaningful.
Please, wouldn't it be great to say 90% of the people, 100% of the people in this county stood up and said, yes, we want this.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
all you need to do is yeah. just raise your hand.
Yeah, that creates a tsunami of outside support.
Yes.
When you can demonstrate that local buy-in.
And yes. the best yep. way then for people to do that is to go to the website.
So yeah, if you go to www.cccae.org. There's a donate button there. You can click on the info contact, and that goes directly to me. And I can, you know, if you want me to pick up a check, I can do that. If you want to do it over online you can do that, or you can do it through Colorado Gives. And if you're willing to do an ongoing gift, they're right now matching $100. So for if you're doing $100 this month, and they will match that for us. Mm. So it goes even further. And just know that on top of that, every dollar we get right now is really like $5 in the bank, because it's unlocking
it
that larger
that other money.
It does, totally. And and this is, you know, we want to support. We are working with the school district right now. There's a big push to keep our kids in our district, right? Like, we all know that our district is shrinking, and we need those kids here. And this is always, this was born out of Colorado, Clear Creek Center for Arts and Education was born out of that idea of how do we give our kids more? Mm-hmm. How do we provide after school? How do we create a movie theater again? How do we get a movie theater here? Like, if we had a space, we could have regular movies. And we've been doing movie nights, but set up and take down. And, you know, the Club Hotel has been phenomenal. They are
amazing.
Great partners for us, but they don't want all of our stuff in their in their space, right?
Like, they're limited.
Yeah, they're limited, and they're amazing. If you haven't been over there, if you haven't had a family member or somebody stay there, you should, because it's great. But they have been phenomenal for us, but it is. It takes time to set up and take down, and we've been working with the city of Idaho Springs. They've been another great supporter. So,
Well, we've got just a few minutes left. Let's see if we can address this image up a little bit with some particulars. I thought I heard you say 200 seat venue. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, in a black box theater
and classrooms.
In classrooms. Okay. So the vision is to build something from scratch on some property somewhere in the Idaho Springs area.
So we have been working with the Argo recently. They have, some of you have been in events at the Bucking Room at the very base of the Argo. That's one space. They are willing to potentially sign a lease for $1 a year for a 10-year lease. We need a 10-year, you know, we need, this is a big amount of money and a big investment. And so, but in that, they would also be putting funds into that. So they would be a great partner, and it's a great opportunity.
May I interrupt for 1 second? I just wanted to say there has been a lot of conversation about the school not being, end up being the right fit. And I just want to make clear to everybody that we are still committed and engaging with the school district.
100%.
We've had several meetings, and this would be an extension of the school. It would be a home for those kids. So it's not like because we're going to do it someplace else, it's no longer in partnerships with the schools. That is the mission, is to have a meaningful partnership with the schools. And we have a great new superintendent and Wes Paxton, and
a couple of new school board members.
Yes.
Coming in.
Yeah. And he really, this is his mission as well. So by donating to this, you're also donating to those after school programs.
That's a great point. I'm so glad to hear there's collaboration among the interested parties in
arts.
That never stopped.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
That's terrific. So how do people then find out about your activities, your events? Again, on the website?
The website. If you're on our mail list, that goes out regularly as well. You can sign up, and I will add you to our mailing list. And so we're working on that. That's probably the best way. We always want more volunteers. We always welcome that. We also welcome artists. We want to be able to bolster artists in our community. So if you want to do a show, we're going to give you a space to hang up your I'm using bad words.
Produce an event.
Wow. Yeah.
So, which is great too.
So it sounds like you are very interested in enabling others.
Absolutely.
Who want to come in and work with you and have their own idea.
We know that every idea leads to an event, an experience, a relationship, a child who gets to experience something new, a senior who gets to get out of the house. Everything we do, whether it's tiny, whether there's four people or 400 people, those things are what are meaningful to us to come together across differences, across all the things that keep us apart. Arts brings you together.
Yeah, that's right.
Real vibrancy. Yeah.
Okay.
This is really exciting. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And we're going to have to wrap it up. I'm sorry to say, but let's have that website address one more time. The contact information.
It's www.cccae.org. That's Clear Creek Center for Arts and Education.
CCCAE.
.org.
Okay. Everybody get that? I hope so.
We also have a Facebook page, so please come on and join our Facebook
page. Be friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Friends. Carla and Amy, thank you.
Yes, I just hope we can ask you to come back again and give us an update sometime.
We would love that.
Anytime.
Okay.
I live right down the block.
Okay. Well, thank you again for coming in. And stay tuned, folks. We've got more to the show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay, Philip Glass, thanks for bringing us into the second half of the show. This is What's Upstream. I'm your host, co-host Mark Cuccinella, here with my partner in crime, Lori Beckel. And we are KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial, streaming worldwide 24/7 over clearcreekradio.com. All right, Lori.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. That was pretty exciting to hear about sort of this new arts program, budding excitement there. I've got one quick PSA to share, and that is the second Do Talk Dinner is planned for next Monday evening, November 10th. The first one, as I understand, was quite a success. Over 30 people, men, so this is men coming together to meet other men and visit with other men. And it's not a support group, it's not therapy, it's just an opportunity for men to develop a network. And I understand you're going to go, Mark, now that you're back.
Yeah, the radio station board of directors has a meeting that night, but I'm going to make sure that we get done in plenty of time for the so that I can go to the dinner. The free dinner.
The free dinner, 6 o'clock p.m.
Yeah.
At the Club Hotel.
Yeah.
And this is just a wonderful thing that is sponsored in this community by Smokin' Yards, Tommyknockers, Club Hotel, Bojo's, and then the Colorado Community Health Alliance.
And by the way, my understanding is I'm not obligated to speak to anyone, but it's an opportunity to speak to everyone.
Exactly.
And that's something that puts me at ease to go to such an event.
Right.
So I hope others will join us.
Yeah, so calling all men 18 and up in Clear Creek County, give it a try. The Do Talk Dinners next Monday evening at 6 p.m. at the Club Hotel in Idaho Springs. And then there is another PSA, but I think I will leave it to our next guest to talk about it. Carolyn Fiselt is here from the Friends of the Georgetown Library. Big things are happening up in Georgetown with the library, Friends of the Library, and you can also then share with us your fundraiser for Saturday night. But Carolyn, please introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Carolyn Fiselt. I live in Georgetown. I've been there, I guess, 18 years. We started out as weekend people for skiing and fell in love with the town and bought a house, and we're pretty much there full-time now. So that happened during COVID. I was in the travel business. That fell apart. I needed something to do. So you get busy in Georgetown doing volunteer stuff. So now I'm overextended, but the library is dear to my heart. So every bit that I can put into the library, I do. So, yes, we're having a fundraiser Saturday. It's our annual meeting for the Friends of the Library. But some background on that is I was here a little over a year ago looking for support for the 6A mill levy. That passed.
Yes.
Yep.
We were so happy about that. And going with supporting the community, people support community, it was just an amazing experience. And so that gave us the freedom to move forward on a much-needed update for the George Tomei Library in Georgetown. Mm-hmm. We had plans for like a $3 million project. We had about $1 million. And so we met in April. It's like, well, what's our next step? Now we have operating funds, but now we need to look into this building. And so one plan A, I think, was, well, we'll do it in bits. As we raise money, we'll do pieces that need to be done.
What, renovating the current John Tomei Library?
Mm-hmm. And then this plan B was, well, maybe we can just cut back on what we were going to do or wait till we have the money to do it, which every year the cost goes up. And then somebody said, well, you know, the old school is sitting empty and it's not really being used and it's already been done. And it was like a light went off and was like, yeah, let's do that. And it's taken a while because some people, they love the John Tomei Library. They don't want to leave.
Right.
I grew up there. I mean, the stories. But financially, it just made sense. Raising another $2 million seemed impossible. Everybody's after the same few dollars we have in Clear Creek, and we just don't have that much money here. So it seems like it's a good remedy for the town as well. And what makes it a little sweeter is there's the town of Georgetown is looking for a new home, and they like the building. So if that comes together, it'll just make it all the sweeter to have the town move in there.
The town is going to potentially move their operations to the George Tomei facility.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
this is news too.
Yeah. So it's not a done deal yet. They've looked at other buildings, you know, financially, what can they afford? The building still will need work. There's a lot of pieces up in the air still working everything out. Mm-hmm. Even with the old school, we had to make sure it could contain books. I mean, those are heavy. And is the building going to make it? And I think we got clearance on that.
So meaning, like on the second floor, could it actually hold the weight of books?
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
And we got the clearance,
Important to know.
Even the first floor had to be checked out. So that building was well built, and the redo on that was amazing. So that's one step that's out of the way. We have a price that we've agreed on from the building. The old school building belongs to the Georgetown Trust, we've come up with a price for that, and then just a lot of negotiations. Even the state of Colorado has the easements on the building. We have to get clearance from them. So there's still a lot of stuff going
because on. Because it's historical?
Yes.
I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, but it's getting there, and I think it's going to work out, and we're all hopeful that'll happen. So in the meantime, we're still raising money. The Friends of the George... So the John Tomei building itself is owned by the Georgetown Library Association, and mainly their job is to own the building, maintain it. And then the Friends is the one that actually supports probably more the activities.
Right.
So over the years, we've supported summer reading, the Mountain Jams, which are the Saturday afternoon concerts in downtown Georgetown, summer through fall. We do some scholarships. But most of our fundraising has been through book sales. We have a book sale building in the basement, which when we move out of there, we won't have that. And we're still not sure what we're going to do about book sales, but that's pretty much paid for the activities we've been doing over the years. So we're looking for ways to raise money. This event Saturday, it's a free concert, but we will be looking for donations. We'll be asking members to renew their memberships, and we'll sell beer and wine and supply some snacks to go with it.
And provide... Great music from a fabulous band, well known to Clear Creek County, and they are
Dakota Blonde.
Dakota Blonde.
Yeah.
We all know, sort of the house band, right?
Well, the last time they played here was when we had our 25th year anniversary, which was 20 because of COVID was delayed a couple of years, but it's been a few years, and they came up. They were so excited to be back. We were so happy to have them.
It was
a wonderful day. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've had them at the old school before, and I think maybe even Mountain Jams. I know I've seen them two or three times up there, and we're glad to have them back.
Yeah. So Carolyn, it sounds like then there are three organizations. Are three groups working on library kind of stuff in Georgetown. There's the Friends, there's the Library Association, and then there's the Library District.
Yes.
Yes? Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming all three of you collaborate beautifully on all of these things. Is that true?
That's a dream world right there.
So, yeah. We do. There's always pushback, it's like...
Yeah, that's
there's like
human nature.
Old-time stuff where, people in Georgetown don't trust the district. It's like, I haven't been around long enough to know what that's about. But there's always like,
there
my gosh.
There's a history there.
Yeah, there's some old history that makes people nervous. But people are coming around bit by bit. And, at worst, people would say, well, I don't like it, but I get why we're doing it, too. This is a great idea, and they have parking there, which we don't have downtown. Mm-hmm. So people have come around slowly but surely, and I think are for the town, for the most part, I think are embracing the move and kind of excited about it, too.
Pulling in the same direction.
Gorgeous building, and we'll still have the event room. We can still have concerts there, and people can use that.
Really?
Yeah, okay. We'll still have that. We have a great, beautiful piano there. So, yeah, that won't go away. That'll still be available. So.
Good to know.
Yeah, I've been to a number of events up there, and I was when you said on the second floor, I was worried that they were going to take that space.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no, no.
great.
I think it'll be duplicate space. Actually, we're going to put the children's area up there with movable bookcases so that when it's time for a concert, we just move those out into the hallway or into another space.
Fabulous.
So,
yeah. Well, good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming then you are continuing to do fundraising.
We will. Some of the things we're looking at, we've had a somewhat history of doing heritage hops in Georgetown. And we have wild hops all over town from mining days when there were always breweries to support the miners. And we still have a lot of wild hops, and I grow them and other people are growing them. So we pick the hops. Have the beer brewed, and then we do a fundraiser where we do food pairings with the beers that are made. And we're looking at doing that again in January. Everybody's too busy in the fall to do it, and when we did this 2 years ago, it's like, well, we like doing it, but we don't want to do it every year. So this is the year we're supposed to do it again.
Okay.
Of course, we're down a brewery, but the local chefs are on board, love doing it. And so,
yeah, I was wondering who makes the beer.
Cabin Creek will brew the hops that I picked.
I see.
And
and these are vintage hops, you said, from
they grow
ancient?
On the side of the road.
Yeah, they're
oh
everywhere.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And
wow,
they're fun no to idea. Grow. They're so easy. Yeah. And you just get a plant and they take off.
Yeah, you'd call them a weed if they weren't hops.
Yeah. And they smell good. They're yeah. just, they're a yeah. lot of fun to grow. So that's part of our heritage in Georgetown. So we'll continue with that. We're trying to figure out what to do about the book sale, whether it's just holidays or how it's going to work out. But
is there a timeline for this move? I understand there's still balls in the air on mm-hmm. this thing, but do you have a target date?
I don't know if anybody said that. People have said by spring.
Ah, okay.
So I was ready to do it tomorrow, but it's going to take a little longer than I thought. But I think we'll get there.
Yeah.
Everybody wants it.
Mm-hmm. So. Have you considered the logistics of the move?
Oh, I want to do one of those. Have you seen those things where people move bookstores and libraries where everybody lines up and you pass the books down the street?
Like a fire brigade.
Yeah, only with books. And somebody said, well, you do one book at a time so little kids can help. So we'll get the school to come down.
I have not seen that.
We can't move the whole library that way, but it'll be a fun event maybe
yeah,
to kick off.
Like a good time.
That's my plan anyway.
Oh, that sounds really fun.
It'll be
and
fun.
It's a publicity stunt mm-hmm. that'll gain a lot of
yeah.
attention. That's wonderful.
I was just in Venice and there's a bookstore there. I didn't visit them, but there's a bookstore where they've built a staircase up to the roof where you have this a magnificent view of the city. And it's made of old books all the way the
oh,
staircase.
Wow.
Yeah, I should have gone to that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
At least gotten a picture.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's,
there's
many ways you can move books, but by hand, like a bucket brigade.
it's just a block. You know, it's not that far.
Yeah, so. It's great.
I think it'll be fun. A lot of people want to be part of that, so we'll make that fun.
Nice.
So the doors open on Saturday at 6. I'm looking at the flyer. Mm-hmm. The annual meeting starts at 6:30. What will happen at the annual meeting?
That's just a perfunctory introduce the new slate of officers, basically for the Friends, and then answer questions for anybody that's wondering about the move. We've had several meetings in town for people to come and ask questions, and this will just be one more opportunity.
So if you have questions, mm-hmm. this is a good time to
yes.
go.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 7, Dakota Bond starts
yes.
playing.
Yes.
So fun times in Georgetown mm-hmm. on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. What am I doing Saturday? I guess I'm going to Georgetown.
I guess you are.
Well, come early because, you know, we didn't take reservations. And
that's the
it
thing.
It could fill up. It could fill up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We'll pack in as many seats as we can.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
How many does that area hold?
Somewhere between 50 and 70, I think.
Okay,
that'll
seats. Easily fill up.
Yeah,
yeah
we
sure
sold
it
out before.
Yeah.
So
what sort of? As long as we have you here, we've talked to the many people from the library district over the course of the last few years, and what sort of collaborative efforts have gone on between the library district and the library itself?
I'm not part of that board, so I don't know a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty good friends with Candy Luca, who's now mm-hmm. the president, so most of my information comes from her. They've been a great support. You know, when the roof had to be replaced, they replaced it. We needed to upgrade a door that was falling apart. They fixed that. I think a boiler went out a couple years ago. They fixed that. So they've been there supporting us financially for a long time. And then, of course, all the services and events and things all come through the district money. You know, all that bond money that we raise supports the activities in Georgetown as well. It's just the building ownership that's separate.
Does the library district pay rent? to the owners, to the association,
I
guess?
I don't think so, no.
Owns the library?
No. They just own it. I don't think there's been any rent payment.
So it's
but it's the district that's buying the old school for us. So it's their money.
Gotcha.
And then whatever we get for the sale of the building, hopefully the town will buy it. Then we'll have that to put toward improving, you know, getting the building up to snuff for us and ongoing activities and things.
So I just think it's important for people to hear that the district, they're, you know, that tax dollars that go into supporting the district are directly making improvements in both services and to the building.
Yes.
In Georgetown. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I'm happy to support locally, you know, with my tax dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
They do so much. You know, people say, oh, you know, I can get books online. It's like, yeah, but you don't get art classes and kids' activities after school on Fridays when there's no school. It's like huge.
And the toddler program, the program that Holly does with
yes.
the mothers and fathers and small children.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like, you should just go to the website. They have the Library of Things. Like, if you want to try out
yeah.
stuff, you can
cool?
borrow.
Instapot.
Instapot. our bread maker broke down just before Christmas last year, and Libby brought over a bread maker so we would have one. And a canopy tent we needed for a party we were giving, we got from them. And
well, we have on this show once a month or so, once every few six weeks maybe, we have a history of Clear Creek County show. And Christine Bradley and Lou Howard come in and they speak of history. But Christine, her association with the library she's built this archive of historic documents. It's just an amazing thing that she's working on. And what she's accomplished has been such an addition to what's available to us to learn about. I feel such a connection to the history of my community now. You know, I feel a greater part of where I live. Based on
knowing the history,
on what she has taught me, and what is available there at the library district. So, hats off for that program. That is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. What a resource that woman is.
I was there one day, and she was telling me about this story about two different families from Italy that had family that came to do mining, and they didn't know each other, but they connected. Oh. Via her finding their family histories in Clear Creek County.
Isn't that great?
And they didn't know each other before, and they were practically related.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to, this is a little off topic, but Mark recently mentioned to me that our show, What's Upstream, is now being archived. And you can find it on the KGO Clear Creek Radio website.
That's right.
And I looked this morning, and sure enough, Christine Bradley's last program with us was there. So thank you to whoever is doing that.
That would be Mike Anderson, who is Mike does some of the engineering behind the scenes of here at the radio station. He's a full-time firefighter with North Metro Fire District, and was a volunteer here in Clear Creek County for decades. Was sat on the Fire Authority Board of Directors, and you know he is just one of those guys who likes to work behind the scenes, but works every day to help make this a better community.
Right.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
So I'll just plug our show for a minute, but if you hear from a friend that they heard What's Upstream, and it was an interesting topic, and if you miss it, either on Wednesdays at noon or Fridays when it's repeated at noon, you can now go on the website and find it there and listen to it there. So
yeah.
I didn't know that, Mark, and it's very cool to see that.
Well, thanks for mentioning that. And I guess I am the worst promoter of
Well, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, dear. I'm going to help promote you, even though I'm looking at your the best of the best and the best radio show, local morning radio show, is you, Mark Cuccinella, Upstream for 2025. So I'm going to keep promoting you, Mark.
Well, maybe we can get that again for 2026, and your name will be on there, too.
Well, I'm glad you got it. You deserve it. So I'm just wondering if there, as we're sort of beginning to wrap up here, Carolyn, is there anything else that, you know, our listeners should know, kind of all things Georgetown Library or just Georgetown, like hops?
Heritage Hops. I'll probably ask for some support once we get that figured out.
Nice.
Just
give us a little background on the library itself. It's such a wonderful facility, and that's my home library, living in Empire, so it's the most convenient for me. And I just love walking in that building, and I'm a little bit sad it's moving, but I'm happy that it's going to an equally wonderful location.
I guess the story is John Tomei left the money to Georgetown to build a library, and that's why the library's in his name.
And who is he?
John Tomei.
Who is John Tomei?
Oh, gosh. I've heard before.
I don't know.
We'll have to ask Christine.
Probably a miner. somebody that made a lot of money in Georgetown, maybe a miner, maybe a support for mining. I don't remember the story, but he did leave the money for the library.
Nice.
And one point, people said, well, we can't leave the library because he built it. It's like it wasn't built till after he was gone. And when the library first opened, it was also City Hall. So it's had many iterations.
See, we didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's not totally new that City Hall would be moved into there because that's where they started, too. So it's had lots of iterations in addition to being a library. So they basically ran out of space. With the archives, I mean, Christine's at the old school already.
Yeah.
Has been there for a while, and she wants more space. And
that's where she does the archiving work.
She's on the second floor.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So she was asking for more space, and we were paying rent for it. So it's like now we'll own the building, and that'll be good too.
Yeah. Well, it's so good to know that the stage and that space can also remain available to the community. Our previous guests may be interested in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we're trying to
collaborate with the arts group.
Yeah. We do have an arts group through the Georgetown Trust. They does the Mountain Jams and other concerts and so forth. But, yeah, we need to get them involved with us as well.
Yeah, all these collaborations. You know, we don't have enough resources up here to compete with each other. And the collaborations, as Carla was saying, makes the money go so much farther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. And it seems so natural that if you've got an interest in the arts and an activity that's already on the ground, why wouldn't you pool your resources? Mm-hmm. It just makes so much sense to me. Yeah.
So well, I think both Mark and I will see you on Saturday night.
Carol. Good. I'll be looking for you.
I'm planning to be there maybe at 6 o'clock to make sure I get a seat. I don't know.
I'll probably be pouring wine. Band. Yeah, I'll probably be pouring the wines.
Oh, well, we'll line up for your offering as well. But thank you so much
thank
for coming
you so
on
much
today.
For asking.
It's always a pleasure. And don't hesitate to contact us if you've got news on the progress of this.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we're gearing up for Georgetown Market, if I can throw that in. First two weekends in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And I hired all the entertainment for that, which is a fun project.
Yeah,
wow.
Good.
We have ongoing entertainment throughout the whole both weekends. And there's one group that comes up. It'll be the second Saturday called Poca Foca. Have you heard of them?
Poca Foca.
Oh my gosh, they're so much fun.
And do you polka?
Well, they do polka, but they do covers like Billie Eilish covers. Oh. And they do Christmas. And they're just really talented musicians.
Nice.
We have a lot of talented people that come in. But this group is Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
And where will they be playing?
They'll be in the tent.
Okay,
we do the tent next to the Hotel de Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be in there. And they're so much fun. So.
Well, all I have to say is let it snow.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Or after the Christmas market.
Please.
Okay.
Well, it's just been such a fun show today, Mark. Thank you so much. And we've had so much positive news. And men out there, remember to show up for the Dude Talk dinner on Monday night at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's at the...
At the Club Hotel.
At the Club Hotel. I almost blurted out Hanson Lodge, but no, it's the Club Hotel.
No longer.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And please think about tuning in on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, Morning with Mozart. I'll be here. Love to see you. We'll have some coffee together, listen to some great music. Till then, take care. See you next week. Bye.
What's coming up? What's going down? What's coming to our town? It's gonna be good.